You're listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with film writer and director Sophie Brooks. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
I've always believed that one of the hardest things to get from people is the truth. And I feel like your film, Oh Hi, congratulations on that. It really kind of picks apart this thing. You know, almost you have to tie someone to a bed for a day and still it's hard to get the truth out of them. I mean, I'm wondering what the inspiration was for this story.
Yeah, certainly seeking truth, I think, is something I always try to do in my work. And I think this film is a romantic comedy, a twist. And I think inherent in the dating process, it's a journey of discovery with two people and seeking truth. And I think something that dating culture has right now that didn't have with my parents' generation is dating apps and all of these new words that we've decided, you know, like ghosting or gaslighting or breadcrumbing, love bombing. When I was in my late 20s, I got out of a serious relationship and re-entered the dating scene. And I was kind of shocked by the simplification of a lot of complicated feelings around dating and how women are so easily labeled crazy and men are so easily labeled assholes, and how in reality we're all complex people with feelings and our own sets of baggage. I just thought it would be interesting to explore that in a tongue-in-cheek way and kind of lean into these tropes and then subvert them. My agent, and she challenged me to come up with an idea that could shoot during COVID, meaning it had limited locations and limited actors. Molly Gordon, who is the star of the film and a producer on the film and also developed the story with me, she and I were in a pod at the time, a COVID pod, and I told her the idea and she immediately responded to it and was really excited by it. We definitely did a lot of improv. We would always try to do what was on the page first. I'm not someone who's super strict with my actors doing word for word what I've written. It's so exciting when you're sitting by the monitor and then one of your actors says something and you're like, oh my God, that's genius. Why didn't I think of that? And it's so exciting to watch them do it. And Molly's such an incredible improviser.
You know, it's so interesting because it calls up these questions about what is love. Iris and Isaac, the two leads, have very different expectations.
I think there is something about the type of guy Isaac is, which is someone who desperately wants love and affection and is also desperately scared of being vulnerable. If they're setting a tone of a type of relationship and that's not really what their intention is, and the other person thinks, oh, we're on a road to a relationship, a road to love. And in reality, that's not what the Isaac in the dynamic wants. It can be quite painful. But I also think it's quite painful for the person, for him. I think it's quite painful for the person who wants these things and is scared of the vulnerability of having them. Because, you know, ultimately, I think we're all quite scared of rejection. And as brave as I think Iris is, it's really scary to want for something and to feel it slipping away. And I think Iris felt she was really on the road to getting something she desperately wanted with this person who she thought it was reciprocal. I do think women are often labeled crazy for having pretty normal expectations or reading things in a healthy way. For example, just anecdotally of my friends who have dated and myself too, I think the standard for how one should be treated has somehow become too much or intense in a way that feels odd to me. I think a man seeking love is viewed as sweet and romantic, and a woman seeking love can be viewed as desperate. And that's really unfair. Without ruining anything, but does do something that is pretty kooky. But she's also, that doesn't come out of nowhere. He behaves in a way that makes her feel that way. He does, in a lot of ways, gaslight her. I think that he is not doing it for his own pleasure. I think he genuinely is a complicated person who hasn't done enough therapy or work on himself to be, you know, ready for something serious. But I don't think he has bad intentions. I think that we've set up a culture in dating where we've kind of normalized the idea of situationships, right? It's such a funny thing where that's now normal to not define something for months on end. And if a woman wants a label, suddenly it's too much. I think that there's a lot of comedy in the ways that things get simplified in our dating culture. We're also spoiled for choice because of dating apps and, you know, Instagram and other social media sites, where there is this idea that there's always something better out there, which is a slippery slope to go down, I think. I think it creates this kind of blindness of what is in front of you and what is meaningful. Self-reflection is really important. And I think when you notice a pattern in yourself, it's your responsibility to unpack it and find a way through it if you want to change it. I actually think in a lot of ways, for both Isaac and Iris, that is what the journey is for each of them. I do think we are very good at self-sabotage, all of us. And it's a very easy road to go down. It's very safe because it's comfortable and we know it. And I think when you can find the ways you self-sabotage and try and stop that, it will lead to a happier life and things that are meaningful.
I wonder what drew you to, well, the arts and writing and visual storytelling, filmmaking in particular.
I was always a really creative kid and loved being in my room and playing with my friends, making up stories. And my dad is a producer in the film industry. So I was always kind of around film. Writing to me feels, I'm not a religious person, but it feels quite spiritual sometimes to write. I journal every day, or almost every day, and writing feels like a way I can just tap into a quiet part of my brain, and I love it. I read everything out loud. I often, when I'm in the early stages of writing, I go for walks or drive if I'm in LA, and will take voice memos of scenes. I actually listened to some a couple weeks ago from Ojai, and they were almost verbatim scenes in the movie that I had written while I was driving and just recorded the different characters. So I'm doing a lot of improv when I'm writing and recording it.
One thing that we're all thinking about now is with AI and how this is transforming the way we communicate with ourselves, with our imaginations. And I mean, it's certainly making incursions into film and television. I mean, how does that sit with your creative process?
I personally don't see myself ever using it because all of my stories are based kind of here in the here and now in some way or in the past, and I'm just drawing from my own experience or the people around me, or the research I'm doing is not extensive, so I can't see a world in which AI would be beneficial to me. Writing is such a craft and it takes years and years to hone, and I'm sure I will be honing my craft of writing for my whole life and coming back to the things I've learned so far and learning lots more. I take a lot of pride in my craft as a writer and how it can be easy in one moment and terrifying and heartbreakingly hard in the next. And it's such a balance. I'm dyslexic, so I actually don't read for pleasure very often. Usually when I read, I'm reading something that I'm trying to learn. When I was writing that scene, you know, Iris says that she's more of a movie girl, which I'm more of a movie girl than a book girl. You know, sometimes in the early stages of dating, you want to sound impressive to someone and cool. And I remember when I was much younger, in my early 20s, early to mid-20s, I would feel embarrassed that I didn't read a lot of novels because I wanted to sound smart and interesting from the age of 5. And I was held back a grade for third grade. I did third grade twice. And at the time, I felt such shame about it and so inadequate. I'm so at peace now and grateful for my dyslexia, and I think it's made me who I am in a lot of ways. I think having the experience of feeling like a failure at such a young age made me quite brave in my work, because of course I have a fear of failure and a fear of rejection, but I'm also like, I've been there, I've done it since I was 5, and that feels connected to my dyslexia in some ways. I'm so glad that I love that part of myself now. And now I think it's a gift, and I think it makes me a better artist and braver. So I don't know what it would be to not be dyslexic. I don't know what it would be to not be a woman. I don't know what it would be to not be kind of half English and half American. All of the things that we are create our perspective. And I try really hard to see other people's perspectives But ultimately, I am trapped in the prism of my own experience, which we all are to varying degrees.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episode or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.